everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. Glad to have you back. Glad to have you for the first time. However you got here, you're listening to the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We are here to help everybody out there that is tired of this bullshit. Have a laugh. Take a load off. Enjoy yourself. We're trying to do this three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on iTunes, SoundCloud, Android podcasting, whatever it may be. You can find our show. We're also doing it live on Facebook right now, so thank you to everybody that got to see the near-death experience circus that we just went through with Brian. We'll probably explain that later. And, you know, for the most part, causing a ruckus and not putting up with any more Republican-Democrat bullshit and what these people think is okay way to conduct themselves and rule people. We're getting rid of everything. We're going back to zero, and we're going to get rid of all of this hierarchy so we can have a horizontally organized workers association that just parties down and doesn't throw food away at the grocery store. We just give it to the people that need it, and we don't fill the dumpsters full of food. Easy as that. We get the hospitals open so that people can just do the job of doctor and nurse to the people that need to be helped by doctors and nurses. We want the simple shit, and we want to get rid of the ruling class. And we think it's pretty possible as long as enough of us start working on this project immediately. So that's why we're here. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We've been doing it for 6 years now on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio. We just came back from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where an amazing show went down. The Spirit Pizza Lounge. In the basement of the Spirit Pizza Lounge, we made some magic happen with several slices of comedy. And for those of you that were there, it was absolute magic. And I'm happy that you were able to make it. And it was just a fucking fantastic show, man.
Think there's going to be more. It looks more and more like there's going to be a lot more live shows.
It is. As long as we keep getting that, those type of people coming out, I'd be happy to continue this thing. And I want to say thank you off the top, just because y'all deserve it. Thank you to Owen, who gave us a troy ounce of silver. Now, this is like the size of a domino, and it is raw metal, silver. It's stamped by a company that weighs and measures these things. And he told me the story behind it is that a guy was like, came over to buy weed from him and said, yeah, this thing's worth like 18 bucks, but it could be worth more.
That's fine. 18 bucks is, that sucks though, that like you have to trust somebody on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Poor drug dealers out there.
I have to say, I am kind of fond of this, though. This seems really cool. If this is like a $20 coin and I could put it in like a velvet pouch, this would be really neat to just throw on the counter at the Best Buy when I'm spending my tax returns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They won't let you. They'll pick you right up. I used to work with this guy at the cable company that like every week he would go buy some silver. And most of it was just shavings or little chunks of coins, somebody cut off a little part of a coin, and he used to keep it in a Ziploc bag in his car. And you were saying earlier, you're like, man, I'd like to have like a nice little satchel full of these. Not cool, man.
Feels good. It feels like playing a board game, man. Like when you're rich in a board game.
Gonna be honest, I like swiping a card, baby.
I hate the card. Dude, the card's fucking obnoxious because you have to take your attention away from the person. It totally like cuts them out of it. You're like, kind of, don't look at my pin. You know, I fucking hate the card. I'm thinking about going back to cash. It's the easiest and the quickest.
It's king, too.
The chip shit is so fucked up now. The asking for chips, the time it takes, internet going down, cash, I think, is where I'm going back to.
Right. I'm reading this book. I read that Handmaid's Tale. And one of the things they did in that book that flipped me out was like they canceled all the women's credit and just made so they had to have a man have the credit. And I'm like, shit, they can. They can just be like, none of you have money anymore. And it flipped me out. Like I had nightmares from that book because of that.
Yeah,
And I brought it up to Brett at least 7 times since I read the book. Every week I come here and I'm like, you know, in that book, they shut off the credit cards too, by the way.
But you also know that's based on real history. I mean, that's what it was like. Women weren't able to get credit for a very long time. There was no official law for it, but no banks would dare do it without having a husband's approval. They would get like an account where they could go and shop for underwear by themselves at like Marshall's or something.
Yeah, I understand that. But when you're looking at it and they say, well, they did it. Like the government was like, hey, you guys got to do this. And they're like,
they can
right,
disappear the hell out
it.
Of the money. I mean, Wall Street can do something one day and all the money will be gone. And they'll just be like, I don't know. I mean, look at the computer. Computer says you don't have no money anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in a relationship where we split the money up in any way. So I don't really know, you know, but like, I would be disturbed if they were like, oh, your wife's not allowed to have credit anymore. I'd be like, I don't know, man. I'm going to fight this. I think I'm going to fight this.
Yeah, I think I'll probably burn something down for this.
Yeah.
So I also want to say thank you to the person that gave us the official inauguration kit that came with, like, it's an invitation to the inauguration, and then it's also like a commemorative letter of some sort, and then 2 pictures. Just really choice black and white, the cheapest prints I've ever seen. I mean, the prints I did for the Street Fight Club are better than these things. Black and white of Pence and Trump, and they look like the biggest fucking goobers ever.
The person that gave us to us said that we can do anything we want. I know. Trump was like, "What? How do presidents look mean? I'll look mean."
That's
the kind of world we live in. It's a mean world. Yeah, he looks angry. Why does he always look so mad? Don't show it to the beer bottle, Brett. Show it to the camera. but yeah, you're right, dude. You're totally, those pictures suck. I don't know what we're going to do with them. If anybody has any suggestions, you can always hit us on Twitter.
Yeah,
we'll figure something out. I mean, I don't mind having them, really. We'll figure something out.
Clubhouse style, maybe we could do a dartboard.
I'm not going to defecate on them.
No.
And I'm not going to do any bodily functions on them. So don't ask for it. Not even the really dirty one, which would be weird. But, none of that. But just, what do you want us to do with them? We already burned flags and shit. I mean, burn a picture of the president is like almost, although when Sinead O'Connor ripped a picture of the Pope in half, people got fired the fuck up. Like she ripped the Pope in half.
Okay. Maybe
you remember
that? Maybe we could do that. Maybe we keep it. We'll just have to keep that in our back pocket for someday we can get on TV and tear it in half.
Get on Jay Leno. Shit. Jay Leno isn't on anymore. Is it? We'll get on Johnny Carson. I'll sit right next to Ed McMahon and I'll rip that thing in half.
We're going
to
get on Seth Meyers.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, oh, hey, no, we don't rip pictures of the president on here. It's like we rip him with our words, not actual pictures of him. No, we'll go up. We'll just go like it's like. They'll call you up for your comedy. This is my dream now. Your comedy thing. We just go on stage. We hold up a picture of Donald Trump and we rip it in half. And we hold up another picture of Mark Pence. What's that his
Mike
name?
Pence.
Mark Pence. And we rip him in half too. We'll just let it fall to the fucking ground, man. You know, that's our statement. And then people will be like, fuck, these guys are nuts, dude.
I think that would be one way to poison that well, to poison like the comedy well on that side.
We
probably never get called back.
I saw Marcus J. He's ripped Marcus J on Twitter. He posted something about Banksy. This like Palestinian dude was like, Hey man, what you did on that wall looks beautiful. And Banksy's like, oh, dude, thanks so much. And he was like, get the hell out of here. We don't want it to look beautiful. We want it to go away. I was like, yeah, fuck you, Banksy.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it is nice. Everybody gets to level their criticism these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, if the guy there doesn't want it, I guess, is that's where I was coming from. I got to see the exact quote because the way it's told is very good. And it's on a screenshot.
You're bullshit. You're just trying to go against pop graffiti, but graffiti shit
I'm
is always
Banksy.
Good. Graffiti's all
him.
Good. All graffiti's good.
I'm against all of it.
No, graffiti is fucking great.
No.
It's excellent. It adds so much more to where you're at. It's way better than the boring buildings that they're in.
I'm fine with that. Okay. I'm with the graffiti thing. I'm fine with it. I always have been, though. Why am I arguing against it? I'm just making fun of Banksy.
I'm mad at Banksy.
I'm mad at Banksy more than anything, you know? We don't want it to be beautiful. We hate this wall. Go home. I like that. Hey, don't make that wall look nice. What's your fucking issue, dude? But I agree with you, too. It's like, hey, he's just trying to make shit look nice. You know what I mean?
I mean, well.
I hate that wall so much, dude.
The wall sucks. I would rather get the wall done. I would rather him, yeah.
Can we talk about.
Put a bomb well, yeah, on it or something.
Why can't he do like a, well, wrecking ball is how you do something like that. I always liked the Berlin Wall coming down when it was just dudes on top of it with fucking. I know that that was only like a tiny part of the wall.
That was only for some music video.
God, I was so dumb. Like
the Berlin Wall, that was a big one though. That
was fun to watch at least. I would have liked to have done it. If I'd have been there, I'd have been tearing that son of a bitch down.
Yeah.
Probably. Maybe. I don't know. So now somebody will be like, well, that was the rise of capitalism in Europe.
Well, see, the thing about it, though, so maybe if they build this wall, we get to tear it down. Like, that'll be feel good to tear it down. But it's just also it's wasting your time. This
feel
is
like
the,
work.
This is the problem with government, though, is that they only ever do things that they're going to have to then pay themselves to undo. You know what I mean? Like, that's either side gets a hold of the money and they aren't using it for anything but more government spending, you know, on themselves.
Yeah,
and their friends.
But that's a big, like, knocking down the wall is going to be, like, a symbolic moment. That fucking thing isn't ever going to get built. All the people that get paid for building that wall are going to be people who push pencils.
Palestine, though, is one, but we have to get Palestine down, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Tough one. But we're never going to get there to tear it down. Me and you aren't going to be able to do that. That's a struggle that you can only support from over here, I think, unless you're, like, planning to go there.
Yeah,
that'd be fucking cool if you did that, man. I would do remote shows with you. I'm not planning to go there. I got enough fighting to do here.
Yeah. I
almost choked to death before the show because I'm wearing my hat backwards while we record it. I'm convinced.
Turned up.
An allergen flew up my nose right before I went to record the show, and I just couldn't breathe for a second. It's the goddamn spring. It's officially the spring.
It is. Time for...
I never knew that was... Yeah, new beginnings.
We also... One last thing. Such an amazing surprise was Pliny the Elder on Twitter. I don't know if we can say his real name or not, so I'm just going to go with that. He made for us a Street Fight sign, an electric one. It fucking
lights up like some band. We can
change the colors and shit and do like... Yeah.
We'll bring it on tour like a band and hang it behind us while we do our shit. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool as hell.
Yeah, and Brian left it at his house, but we'll put it up while we record. But that was amazing. That's the highest point so far, I think, in doing this.
Love it. Yeah. It was good. I love getting the stuff. It's neat.
And the show was amazing.
Sold some slime, too. Yeah, the show was great. We had a lot of fun performing for everybody. And we want to do a lot more. So be on the lookout for us. Come out and see us. Force your family to come out and see us. You know, bring everybody you know to come out and see us.
Yeah, it's a rip-roaring time.
Okay, so it's been a big week.
Has it?
You know, a lot of news happened while we were in Pittsburgh that I don't think you're giving short shrift to. Like big news for our show type of stuff. And the first thing, the big deal, Hayden Panettiere.
Yes,
love her. Is
that
the way you're supposed to say it?
Yeah, Panettiere.
She is an ally in the fight against chemtrails.
She has questions.
She's an ally, though, I feel like I can make common cause with her. Hey, we're just fucking asking questions, man.
Yeah, I feel like she definitely has shown herself to be extremely open-minded. I don't know if she considers herself an ally, but I'd like to talk with her further on what her kind of hypothesis of what's going on in the skies.
Well, that's something I'm like really throwing out there right now is like we are aiming to end hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
Just all
in every place. It's just it's a bummer.
Yeah. So like on Street Fight Radio. Now, we're not telling you guys have to live by this, but anybody can be a scientist. And truthfully, Hayden Panettiere is raising some interesting questions.
I mean, I'm just a traveler on this earth, right? Like, I'm just on this spaceship. And whatever you think is about as good as what I can think about shit. You know, I don't know much better than anybody else.
No, you don't. And I don't either. Like,
she's seen more, she's been in the skies more.
Right. She's been on airplanes. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, when somebody that's been on so many airplanes is like, oh, I think there's chemtrails. Like, I'm willing to listen a little bit because, I mean, they probably saw something, right?
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures of chemtrail airplanes. You can't fool me. You go right on Collective Consciousness on Facebook.com and you're going to see as plenty. Plenty of insides of chemtrails.
Yeah.
She got like just people went crazy. Like, yeah, I saw that guy, Phil Plate. He writes, I think, Slate. It's like Bad Astronomer on Twitter. He wrote a whole article like, those are just chemtrails. Don't worry about it. It's like, you're a little anxious to get us not to worry about chemtrails.
I think I remember them when I was a kid, though. I don't think they're new. I wouldn't say they're like a new phenomenon. They've definitely been around since when I was a kid.
Right, but the people that believe them are probably a little bit younger than you, you know? Hayden Panettiere is younger
than me. She's like 27.
And I'm going to tell you, man, our parents are lying about not seeing them when they were kids. I saw them when I was a kid, and I was a kid when Ghostbusters was out in the theaters.
Yeah. But what if it, but I mean, I still, whether they're there or not, have they been mind controlling us with them or making us sick with them?
I guess my thing is to say they could be.
That's for sure. But that's for real. That's for real, for real. You came correct because you put the hat on backwards tonight.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that it is, I don't think they are. But it's possible. It's not something that I'm going to say, like, dismissed out of hand. Like, whoa. You're telling me no geoengineering? It just sounds false to me.
Sure.
You know, maybe no, there's a...
They played around in it.
I mean, motherfuckers are really starting to make it, like guys will go on and be like, they're just contrails. They're better for the sky than actual oxygen. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like they're like completely going to they never fly over us and poison us. I'm like, that's the best fucking way to do it. You load a bunch of us on an airplane and then you fly over and poison the rest of them, you know? Yeah, and then they'll get poisoned when they're off the airplane. These are like long acting drugs if this is happening. I don't know that I believe that it's happening.
Well, poison is from the sky. America has poisoned people from the sky. I mean, Agent Orange and lots of other chemicals that they've used.
Agent Orange is against the law now, though. And they're not going to do that.
Sure, but it could. I mean, I don't know. There is.
They're seeding the clouds.
There's a reason, yeah. There's a reason to believe that they might be fucking with the weather.
They're fucking around with the weather. That's the same. That's. I don't know.
Okay, so Hayden Panettiere has questions, which I'm totally down. I would like to talk to her about it. I will not. I'm going to try not to ask her about being Juliet Barnes or being on Heroes. But I would love to talk her ear off about that.
Don't judge her either. Like, this is not a place where you'll get judged. I'm telling you, I'm right here with you, man. Like, why are they flying all those right above your house? One of the more influential people in American
exactly.
media.
And they're trying to dull you down because you have a platform. I don't want to get dulled down.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in. I don't want to be Nashville big and have to get dulled down.
Yeah. We're trying to keep people safe is all we're saying. Just, it's interesting, right? And the other thing that happened.
Big revelation.
Another basketball player, Shaq, believes that the earth is flat. He absolutely believes it.
Yeah, went on like a speaking tour. He like went and said it out loud.
He was on a tear about it, yeah. He just was like, and he's not even asking questions.
No, he's very certain about it. And is somebody that I would love to have the chance to understand. He's somebody that I looked up to also. I mean, as a kid, my parents won a free trip to Disney World at the Extravaganza, which was this like cheap products place at the fair, and they would hand out free vacations. And I had a fucking Shaq, a number 32 O'Neal hat for Orlando Magic. I kept the tags on it just like a rap video, like. And that guy is somebody that I would love to, I loved his fucking candy bar, his movie, That guy is an elder to me, and I would love to sit down. I leave even watch.
You sit on his lap.
I've watched plenty of Shaq's comedy jams. I talked to him about his comedy jams, too. I've seen all those.
You would sit on his lap and ask him, right?
Yeah.
Like a little boy.
Tell me how flat the earth is, Shaq.
Well, I have his quote if you want to hear
it. Let's hear it.
It's true. The earth is flat. The earth is flat. Yeah, it is. But this is from a podcast where we say a lot of things over and over again. And he's like, listen, there are three ways to manipulate the mind. What you read, what you see, and what you hear. And what you hear in school, first thing they teach us is, oh, Columbus discovered America. But when he got here, there were some fair-skinned people with the long hair smoking the peace pipe. So he's like, you know, they told us Christopher Columbus was good. And that was bullshit.
That's true. They did. They covered up everything that he did. He was an awful person. So, yeah, I'm with you on the same page.
Now, listen to this. This is going to get you, Brett, really good. So what does that tell you? Columbus didn't discover America. So listen.
No.
So listen.
There were already people here.
He's like, so I drive from coast to coast, and this fucker is flat to me. I'm just saying. I drive from Florida to California all the time, and it's flat to me. And I'm like, I mean, I can't disagree with that.
It feels flat. It feels really flat. Like, if I'm just driving on it, even flying in a plane, it doesn't feel like I'm being swung around, like, by a rope, by centrifugal force or something, you know? It feels like a real flat-ass ride.
I don't,
like, I'd be having some flat rides.
He said, I don't go up and down and at a 360-degree angle. And all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? You mean to tell me that China is under us? China's under us. It's not. The world is flat.
China's over there.
Yeah.
It's like just drive there. Not you have to go down or around.
He's probably fucking around, right? You think?
I mean,
he's
that dude's toying been with all my over emotions. He's been all over the earth. He's been on the whole thing.
He's seen a lot of the earth. Yeah. I mean, he's probably been to China. If you probably open movie theaters in China or something.
Man, that's a big endorsement.
Doing experiments, at least. He's driving from Florida to California.
Yeah, he drove from one side to the other.
I mean, I'm not doing any experiments on the shape of the earth.
I mean, I have always said, you know, those of you listening in horror right now that think we're infecting children to believe in a flat earth, I would like to see it from space. I would like to fly up in space and see it as a big circle. But I can also conceive that on something of this size, it would seem relatively flat. Like, I could imagine being, like, if I look at a golf ball, I could imagine being like a little speck of dirt on that golf ball, and it seemed like a pretty vast, you know, valley that I'm in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, he believes that. He's just like, he doesn't.
It feels flat. It feels flat.
Everywhere I've gone, I've never felt like I was upside down. You know what I mean? Have you ever been upside down, Brett?
No, I never felt upside down.
Never ever one time felt like I was upside down.
We've never tested it, though.
True.
We've never went to Australia. We've never went to upside down places. We're on the right side up of the globe. Or so they tell us. They also fucking squinch up the maps. If you look into it, a lot of those maps are very distorted on what it actually looks like.
Oh, there's no way we know what this fucking whole thing looks like. None of this shit. I don't believe a map.
I
believe a map. I'll look at even the flat earth maps. I look at them like that's.
I saw the science TV one where they broke it down into like the I don't know. It looked like a backgammon board with like the points on it and everything. And they had it broken down. And I was like, that's not the earth that I know. Really.
No, no. Well, because the only earth, you know, is your house and 6 hours away from your
right,
house in
right.
any direction.
Yeah, that's the most earth I've really gotten to know.
You know, I mean, you went to Dallas, but even that is like, what's that, 12 hours? You've been 12 hours away. You've seen.
Yeah.
And even, like, say you go to California. You flew over most of the goddamn thing. You don't even know.
They could have flown to California before.
Yeah. So you flew over the whole thing. You didn't experience nothing except for California and Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to say. It's
at least you're like. I'm not going to, like, jump down your throat for guessing it, I guess.
Yeah,
I just think, well, a lot of listeners are in the DSA. Why can't the DSA, get flat earthers. I don't see why you can't have a tent big enough. If Street Fight can have a tent big enough for flat earthers, then the DSA can have a big enough tent, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and for me, it's great to talk about. It's very stimulating to talk about. It's better than like these people that are attracted to like this dogmatic authority that is like handed down from NASA. It's like, I've seen all of that. We know what it is. It's like going back to the Abraham Lincoln stories. It's like going back to Founding Father stuff. Like, we know, we've been knowing that it's round.
Trying to get a better story.
30 some years now. It's no fun to just think of it like that anymore, man. I need more. Like, this is okay. Like, I'm trying to up my experience. I'm trying to live on top of an earth that's shaped like a velociraptor.
You change your mind, man. Yeah, it's all there, man. All the info's there. So we want to invite both of them on the show and ICP still.
Yes,
still would really
ICP
love to have ICP
sure.
on this show.
Yeah, we need to work on our campaigns. I think we can make this happen. Flat Earth Convention's happening later this year too, and I'd like to make an appearance.
We applied to make a booth, but they haven't let us. I don't think they're going to let us.
We don't know. We'll see. We haven't got anything back yet, but we are working on that later this year. And as always, Kyrie, welcome. Shaq, welcome. Hayden, welcome. Just a quick chat. Doesn't have to be too long. We're not gonna tie you down and make you tell us what it's like to make out with Deacon Claiborne or anything like that.
We'll let you do 3 hours if you want. But like, you can also do 15 minutes. So just get your ideas out there, man. You know, this could be the type of thing that they put in textbooks in the future. About like, then Shaq went on the radio and convinced everybody that the earth is flat.
yeah. New agenda. This is the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius.
God, just how fucking...
It's here, people. Socialism and flat earths. Anything is possible now. We broke it open. Social media. Connection of people. Synapses firing. Biological networks connecting and creating these tidal waves of new thoughts, paradigms shifting, juxtapositions, and anything is possible now. We are the hands of God creating whatever we want. The utopia is there. Heaven is on earth now if we make it flat and equal.
Well, just let's... any kind of a movement where people are speaking out against ball earthers and speaking for socialism is always going to be amazing to me.
Yeah, how are you doing that? Come on, let's not cut. Let's not get too picky about who's on our side.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Brett. That's the best way to describe it. Now
and the climate people. I understand there is some concerns with climate change, folks. You know, we're going to have to go to consensus on that one, as always. Whatever's best for the rest of us and what most of us think.
Which will win.
That. Yes.
Everybody thinks climate change is happening. There's like this small amount of people. I think somebody's going to send us a poll like it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, everybody brings it up all the time now. Like, it's like it was warm this winter. And Brett was like, oh, shit, I'm really scared. I think the earth is falling apart. But then when a conservative says... coldest winter ever. what about global warming? Everybody jumps on him. It's like, you guys got, I mean, everybody is just, let's calm down about the weather real quick. It's something I don't, like, let's all just have a reasonable conversation about it.
Well, I think that I think I'm along the lines of just the no more pollution, preserve what we
got.
I like
that.
Yeah, let's cut it with all of this greenhouse gas shit. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad or not. I mean, it's not really something that has to be happening all the time. You know, we don't have to be burning fossil fuels and shit and spending all our money making sure that happens. Like,
so we drove through these tunnels to get to Pittsburgh, and I'm looking at the ceiling of the tunnel and it's just black. And I'm like, that's what we pump up into the fucking... Imagine what the fucking dome... Imagine what the firmament looks like up there.
Oh, yeah. Pretty, pretty grimy.
That's why they think in space we're shooting up.
That's black. The stars are actually just little points of light. That's where the tiny amount of God's light comes through. Is those little pinpricks of where there's no smog or... Soot.
Yeah, it was just gross. I was like, look at the ceiling, guys, because they were like, this tunnel's so cool. I was like, look at how gross the ceiling is.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I like when they do the unfinished like that look.
Yeah, to remind you, like, you're pumping that. Look at what you guys are doing here. You're pumping toxins out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? I mean, how would you pay a guy to climb on the ceiling? I mean, people have to drive through that tunnel, you know?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They need to get Roombas that can, like, just, like, a kind of, like, an algae eater one, though, that can just clean the ceiling of the tunnel.
A drone. Just have a drone go in there and do it. Drones do everything now.
No, I wouldn't want a suction cup. We need better robots than just the flying ones.
Yeah.
We need suction cup robots. We need tank tread robots. We need...
I hate tank tread robots.
Why? They're the most versatile.
Because they're basically just a tank. When I see them, I'm like, not like those bomb squad things. I'm like, this is bullshit. This is like the most bare bones kind of robot. That, like, it's just not a robot.
Yeah, I like a... I mean, I would like a robot as like maybe a serving tray that would follow you around or
like
something.
Like the one from Rocky IV.
Yes, yeah, I'm into that kind of stuff. Yeah, the robots will kill me first for my hatred for their species.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I do. We'll treat them like shit. I love screaming at computers more than anything. I love yelling at all of the fucking computer people. Cortana, Alexa, Siri, Google. I scream at them like they're fucking bastard children.
I don't like neither one. None of them. I don't talk to any of them. I hate talking to Xbox.
I DM all my text messages, everything. Like I am like. I'm just not trying to be like a writer. I'm trying to be a talker.
That's smart.
I just like, I'm getting abdicating all responsibilities, including like writing shit down. I'm just going to be fucking dictating things.
Yeah.
At some point.
Oh man. I got somebody out here. Somebody made the news.
Who?
This week. Furious about something, of course. And when he makes the news, he's kind of one of our media figures we cover, right? Mike Rowe is in the news.
Back in the news.
It's somebody we talk about a lot. Like, it's our Ross Douthat. You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's just, he's like one of those guys that he drives me fucking crazy the way he talks about these jobs makes me fucking crazy.
I challenged him to a work-off at previous times on the show.
You would beat him for sure. I know you could work harder than... I'd work harder than him in one day. I'll bet you fucking money. I've worked harder in my life than Mike Rowe has in his life. Easy. Fucking easy. Right? Lee Jeans commercials? I fucking climbed poles in the middle of the winter, man. I was on top of Riverside Hospital laying rubber down in fucking January. Okay?
Yeah.
Fucking getting insulation all over my skin that like heats up and expands and just, it's probably breathing in fucking cancer while I'm up there. And Mike Rowe gets to run around and make $1 million a day talking about fucking work.
Yeah. I don't know. I doubt his forklift license is still up to code.
They don't let him drive a forklift. Nobody, he's not allowed to. They're like, don't let that movie star on the forklift. Don't let that hunk, that fucking calendar hunk, get on the forklift.
So, what did he do this week?
He's hot under the collar at Hasbro because they changed some of the toys at Monopoly.
Okay.
Some of the pieces. The wheelbarrow, they got rid of the wheelbarrow. Which a robot could do wheelbarrow work, and nobody would argue against that. You know what I mean? Like,
I like wheelbarrows.
Me fucking too, dude.
Because you can pick up more stuff. They make you feel strong as hell.
It is. They are romantic. I like a wheelbarrow, but nobody uses that Monopoly piece.
And also, if you fucking put a kid, if you're a kid and you're inside of one and you let somebody run you down a hill in one,
yeah.
Also very fun.
He's also mad about the thimble being gone. They got rid of the thimble.
People don't repair their clothes anymore. They're buying them from Walmart.
Well, he's cool with that, right?
I know, he likes that. That's true. Yeah. He's not mad. He's not mad because all of the cutters unions have been gutted in this country.
No.
And that there's no textile manufacturing happening in the United States anymore. He's just wants everything to be like a Leave It to Beaver cartoon.
No, he really wants government, get your goddamn hands off. Hey, unions, get your goddamn hands off these companies.
Why is he mad about this? So why is he mad? What else is gone? What's gone? Why did they get rid of the thimble's a great one. Why are they fucking with this? Now I'm kind of mad too. I'm on his side. I think I'm joining his side on this one.
Yeah.
Why do they fuck with the pieces? Just make the fucking game and... We don't need any more versions of it. There's 10 copies of it at the thrift store right now for $1.99. They should not have any new versions made. We need to cut production on Monopolies.
Yeah.
For a while.
I'll let you yell
the
that.
The library has them. Yeah. I can go borrow one from my fucking public library right now.
Yeah. Well, they switched the thimble and the wheelbarrow with a rubber ducky and a cat. And I'm like, yeah, that does say kind of something about the world.
It does. Internet cat people.
Here's the new pieces.
They should have done the Nyan cat.
Here's all the pieces, Brett.
Yeah.
This is going to drive you crazy when I read the pieces to you. I don't know if the listeners are going to. It's a rubber ducky. They still got the hat. Okay. They still got the battleship.
Right.
But now they got a penguin.
A penguin?
Yeah. Well, they still have the dog. And they have a fucking dinosaur.
It's all animals. No, this is a child. Now they're turning this into a children's game. This is cutthroat business. Okay? Cutthroat business happens when you do things like sew clothing or when you do things like move dirt. This fucking animal shit's too soft and fluffy. These pieces are made out of cast. Are they still the
iron.
Pewter or whatever it is?
Yeah.
They're still metal, right?
Yeah.
And it's a fucking little cutesy doggy and penguin. It's a goddamn Harajuku game now.
Well, they got the car Karapi? Still, too.
Is it Karapi on there? Is he the frog?
I don't know. There is no frog. No.
What? Why are there so many animals?
I don't know.
This is a game of business.
Love the shit out of animals,
though. This is a game of fucking business. Are you in the business of cars? Are you in the business of moving dirt? Are you in the business of sewing? They've ruined this game.
Yeah.
They've ruined this game. Stop making it. Cut it off. This is like a TV show that's gone on too long. It's also one of the worst board games ever made and really a complete waste of your time. There's so many brilliant board games out right now. Like Kickstarter has blown open the market for independent board gaming. And it's such a waste of time that they still have this. We need to cut this out.
Monopoly is a game that everybody knows, like chess or checkers. So it's not that bad.
It's grueling to sit through, and
I hate
not
it too.
Very,
I do.
It's not enjoyable by anybody. It's why it's called board games. Monopoly is the definition of a board game.
Yeah, people are pretty fired up about it, though, because he's like, it began in 2013 when the noble iron was replaced by a cat.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I'm with him. I'm on his side. I stand with Mike Rowe.
We don't really live in those times anymore, though. We don't really live in thimbles and wheelbarrows times anymore. I mean, most people really like identify with dinosaurs more than they do thimbles.
Okay.
That's who's buying Monopoly.
Why don't they play?
The normal people, they love them fucking dinosaurs, man.
Buy Exploding Kittens. Buy the game Exploding Kittens, then.
It's too expensive.
It's not. It's cheaper than Monopoly.
I know.
$15.
They got the brand, though. Not everybody knows how to play it. It's like I said, it's basically chess now. It's Kleenex, dude. It's just a fucking, hey, you want to play a game? What games you got? Monopoly. I know how to play that game. Oh, okay.
Stop
that.
But we need to be against that. There should be a concerted effort against the game Monopoly.
Okay.
By all.
But it's an anti-capitalist game. From what I understand.
It was intended to be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I play it, I get real capitalist, though. I think that's the point of the game,
only
right?
thing to do is, like, pretend like you're in a rap video with all the fucking money that you
well,
got.
Well, now they got rid of that and made it a credit card. They don't use fiat currency in Monopoly anymore.
See, they've bastardized the whole game. This thing is, stop it. Just stop. You're like a fucking band that's changed so many singers. And, like, nothing is the same. It has none of the original magic. Mike Rowe wants to shut down production. I'm on his side.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is he mad about? Same shit I am?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He's like, you know, hey, I must confess I was deeply dismayed to read about the sudden banishment of honest work from the Monopoly board. But the fucking
thing is,
the people that play Monopoly never use a wheelbarrow. They have a dinosaur. They have 15 dinosaurs in their cubicle.
Right.
Okay. They don't have any connection to a fucking wheelbarrow. You know what I mean? They don't have any connection to a fucking thimble. All they have is a connection to fucking cute ducks and shit like that, man.
Fix your fucking clothes instead of paying 29% on a Gap credit card and buying new clothes every week.
I mean, that's easier said than done.
No, it's not. You can do it while you're watching 6 hours of Netflix and chill. You can get out a fucking needle and thread and a thimble so that you don't poke up your fucking hand.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. You, if you want to do that, if you want to be like a weird guy that wears homemade clothes, then fucking that's really cool of you, man. That's good. That's going to help the earth a lot. But
repair your fucking jeans. Repair your fucking clothes.
No. Listeners, yes.
Consumption is a disease. Consumption is a fucking disease.
Get rid of monopoly altogether, then. Let's just do that, then. Let's not rail. Why are you railing to change? We're both railing to, like, be okay. I'm like, it's fine, you know, whatever. Think, no, and you're railing against it, but it's like.
No, because the game. Because they don't. They need to stop. They need to just have the. Why can't these things be what they are? They don't need to change for how people are. They just need. It's the game of Monopoly.
That's
we think about that people use. People play Agricola and have no fucking problem with it.
I don't know what Agricola even is, dude.
Settlers of Catan. Like when I was a kid, Monopoly was basically my understanding of work ethics. That was what I was taught as a board game, and we didn't have Settlers of Catan and shit like that. So I don't see why it has to be changed.
I guess it doesn't, man. It doesn't. But it doesn't have to be made anymore either.
I agree. Right? I don't think it should be made anymore.
We're going to take that stance. The official Street Fight stance is we're going to outlaw Monopoly, especially with the credit card, man.
I mean, the people that want to see the revolution are the people that aren't laying bricks and shit, man. I think people do got to do the work, man. It's like real shit. Like you got to know how to use tools. They still work, and tools change the world. A wheelbarrow changes the physical world still. It doesn't matter whether people use it or not. It's still a tool that has a lot of fucking possibilities, you know?
I mean, if he's pro-union and he's just
he's hell not. Hell no, he's not pro-union. Yeah, I'm sure he has a fucking earful to say about unions.
Yeah, because he gets fired up. He confuses work ethic with rights.
People aren't
right.
Thankful someone will pay him $8 an hour because Bangladesh will do it for two. So they should be grateful that we got minimum wages. You know, he's an asshole like that.
Yeah, because he claims there's 5.6 million jobs that no one seems terribly excited about pursuing. And I'm like, I wonder where he would even get that many jobs. Where are these 5.6 million things to be done? Are you talking about like building bridges and shit like that? I'll go build bridges. Those jobs are impossible to fucking get. You know what I mean? Especially if you don't get paid anything for it. I fucking tried to make a living doing construction stuff. It's fucking impossible without dying, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you are trading in with a lot of these jobs. You're trading in your life. I mean, you're trading in your body for most of that hard labor shit. But I think that it does still make the world go round. I don't know. Maybe I do feel like more people should have hard work put in their lives because we keep selling shit. We keep offshoring things and making other countries, those people have early deaths and deal with all the pollution for the hard work that, you know, we're not doing ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. I don't mind doing it either. That's the fucking thing. I talked about that with the filling potholes. Fuck, if I could have got a job filling potholes without them poking me and prodding me.
Well, that's like money. This is the fucking, you know, we're going to turn the government. We're just going to pay for the government to be a police state and we don't provide services anymore. Bullshit. It's like, you know, bridge repair and all those things are, you just, like they have the biggest purse. Like they take all the fucking money. They take 25% of anybody that isn't good with money's money. You know, they get it from us through taxes and they spend it on just more awful programs that oppress people and shit. When it's like, yeah, just have enough. These anarchists are ready to help out and do potholes and shit, but there's just not enough resources available, you know?
Yeah. Well, he is saying
money is backed up.
He is saying like we can push kids. It's not a bad thing to push kids toward the trades. Cause like when I was in college, there was a lot made of them saying, talking about tracking and pushing people towards the trades as if that was a bad thing. But like, man, I can say that probably teachers I had knew by the time I was in like 11th grade that I was probably going to be having to use my back to make my money, you know, would have maybe been nice if they'd have pushed me to plumbing or something like that.
Oh, I really wish
you know, you can make fucking $18 an hour doing this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't mean to like romanticize like that it too much, but I also agree where I'm like, if I could have just came, if I could have just went to the goddamn the electrician school that they were fucking offering, I would that makes so much sense to me. That seems like something I could easily tackle and just do very easy, and you know, and do. But like, it was seen as like it was treated as a lesser choice, or like for kids that were like, oh, you're gonna go nowhere, kid, you better learn how, you better learn wiring.
Yeah,
you
but know? That's not, yeah,
I was gonna flunk out of college for it back then. Like, I was already at the point of not listening to any teachers and cheating and scamming my way through the whole thing, that had I known some sort of really valuable skill, I probably would have been better off for those like formative years of my life when I was really scandalous as a person.
Yeah, I just hate how he talks like people are lazy and that's why these jobs aren't getting done. It doesn't feel like people are being pushed to do these jobs or even told to get, like, I know that
people would do them, actually. I mean they're just not available. I mean, there are entire metropolitan areas that used to have very high intense labor things that they don't do anymore, and those folks, there's nothing to replace it, so yeah, they don't do them, you know. I mean, that's what a big part of the election was, right?
I made 11.
People want people like where we're fucked now is that. So the Trumpian regime thinks of things is like everyone now that didn't get fucked over, because there's a lot of people that are losing, might be losing benefits, and they're like, holy fuck, I did not know it was going to be like this. But to everybody else, they were pretty much like, yeah, I got the money to pay for a house and for a lease on a car and to buy insurance myself, so I don't give a fuck about everybody else. And like, that's what they're taking out of, that's the attack that they're on right now, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, just my dad wouldn't let me go to school. There was this group in my school. There was this class in my high school called OWE.
That's what it was called, yeah.
Yeah, they would just send you to, like, McDonald's to work. Or, like, you would be the janitor at school, which I was always like, I'll fucking be the janitor, man. Like,
that's a great gig. I never mind cleaning shit up. I like, I really do like really methodical, and I'm really attracted to, like, just tedious things that have to get done in the same way over and over again. I get really behind that. Like, that's why I did warehouse so much, is because it was just like grab box, throw, stack. And it was just like so rhythmic to me that, like, I was really, that's, you know, I really enjoyed doing the work, but it was just, you know, when my wrist got really fucked up from throwing thousands of boxes over the Christmas season and I went to go collect on my benefits, they were getting out of paying for anything, you know, for paying the goddamn ganglion cyst that I had, you know?
Yeah. Jeez, man.
I don't know. So Mike Rowe is, yeah, he's a turd, and he doesn't want those people to get paid more. He just wants more people to grovel, is what he seems to be his thing is he wants to take some, he has these stuck up people in his mind and he just wants to go make them do horrible jobs. And it's kids that are doing things like engineering and architecture and fucking journalism. It's like, he's such a fucking asshole.
Yeah. He just feels like there are certain industries that don't justify the existence of unions. He's like one of those guys that thinks like, yeah, you know, plumbers should have unions, and
some guy shovels shit. You get paid $7.50. It's shoveling shit. Yeah, it's like, no, yeah, we're not doing like a kid from Brooklyn type of logic on this thing.
I have mixed feelings. As a believer in the individual, I will always support a person's right to make the best deal he can. You can't fucking do that without a union, Micro.
Yeah, there's no making deals at war. You're subject to everything that they say. I've never felt power. I've never had any power in any job that I wasn't in a union.
Not as an individual. Yeah, you're a fucking one person. They can just
replace
you. You're
walking on thin ice.
Yeah, my wife always tells me about these people who, like, you know, they feel like they're going to retire from the company, but, like, they don't change with the process. You know what I mean? So, like, every time the process changes, they refuse to change, but they don't understand that the reason the process is changing is to justify, they can justify they're gone. Like, fuck it then. If you're not going to do it, yeah, well, somebody will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody ever is on solid footing in a bureaucracy. You know, nobody's ever in one of those places because, you know, they can just decide they don't need the position anymore and you're fucking done, you know? But a lot of people are convinced that individually they can strike back and deal with the company better because somebody told them that, but that's not fucking true. You know, the company can change the processes like that and nobody can become a specialist because the company can keep changing the processes and making it a new thing. They can keep changing the game.
Yeah. And it's it's garbage for guys like him that, because he's not even like, Micro doesn't stand up for like Fight for 15 or anything. He doesn't think that's a dirty job, even though you're covered in like fucking onion stink and grease and ketchup and just head to toe filth, like just grime after working at those places.
I wonder if he's ever done a shift at a fast food restaurant. Like, he's fucking willing. Isn't it telling that he's willing to like be dipped upside down in fucking a puddle of shit before he'd go work at a Burger King? You know what I mean? Doesn't that say something?
Yeah, and
like, make him work the fucking register at Burger King. Everybody that works at a fast food restaurant has a first day at the register, and it's fucking hell, man. It's the worst feeling in the fucking world. Have him do that. Have him fucking do that day, just that day, and it would scare him away from ever getting another service job or for denigrating what people at service jobs do, even though he's a famous hunk and they would probably treat him a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, everybody'd be glad to get it. Like, tell me about the Ford trucks again.
Take him to fucking Japan or someplace where nobody knows him.
And he has to do ads over there for like some sort of fizzy orange drink.
See, it sucks because you can never prove this to him, but it is definitely, it's working at a fast food restaurant is on par with any other job in the service industry. And I'm saying that with like cable guys. I'm saying that with cable guys, and like I was a roofer, and like that job affected me more than all of those old warehouse jobs and all of those old like just really shitty like temporary things where I help like move all the cubicles into a fucking social security building, you know?
I don't know. I had fun at fast food. I was a fucking ace at it and made shit extra well with a rhythm and a smile and spit in people's food and had all kinds of hijinks in the back. So
yeah, I just hated it. I thought it was hard work. I thought it was really
hard
work.
It was tough.
And it's insulting to say.
It's a shit. Like, they come in and they're already, every time you come in, they're behind. And it's like, you just spend the whole time being behind and then cleaning up the messes of everybody that came before you. And yeah, it's tough work. But, you know, for him, he's anti-working people. He's just more romantic. He's like the theater. He wants to just do a play someday about a coal miner that dies at 47, but every day he like loved getting that coal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One day he's going to do his little like burnt cork thing and put it on his face and add a little bit to his, you know, put a smudge on his nose and go out there and sing an opera song about dying in a coal mine.
Yeah. So fuck Mike Rowe, I think is what we're trying to say on this show. I hate him.
Here, take your money that you got and go do a dirty job and do some real service for the people.
You don't think it's worth anything.
Yeah, go work on the turd pipes, man. Go be the guy that just opens the levers from fucking 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the turd factory.
Yeah, be the person that sits in the toll booth.
Yes.
In New Jersey.
Right. Exactly.
I drive by the toll booth outside of Gary, Indiana, and I'm just like, fuck me. Like, we drove by them when we were leaving Chicago, and I was like, this is bleak right here. This seems like a rough job, man. You probably get yelled at all fucking day, man.
Yep.
And it sucks because you are doing the job of a troll or a gnome or something like that. You're like guarding the good roads, you know?
Right, right. You have bad news. Yeah. Credit card machine's down.
Oh, no. Oh.
We can give you a slip. Oh. I can give you a paper slip. Just let me write it up.
Credit card machine's down. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, he just... he doesn't understand like that it everybody's labor experience is important. Even people that work like offices we've talked about are hell in a completely different way. Like everybody that I've ever worked with in an office is nervous all the time too. Like even more nervous than people that I had in blue collar jobs, because you're at least like, you know, you can at least look at the boss and be like, he ain't gonna carry this shit.
Well, office jobs, man, you're fleecing everybody too, because it's like real easy. You listen to your fucking Pandora all day and you just do that shit. I mean, I know you probably got to get screamed at by people as well.
All the time, though. It's all day. When I worked in the call center,
politics, man, really tension. You have to pretend to be the most like society prescriptively normal inside of an environment with other people and get away with some money.
Yeah.
Like all of your livelihood is attached to how well you can go and deal with other people's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. I don't know how people do the office thing. That is to me like,
I can't remember being fond of some of it. I mean, I always like the people are fun, and like subverting the rules and stuff is really fun at places like that, because those people are really like into, you know what I mean? Like, can't believe it.
when we did extra
lunches and shit.
When we did those time theft shows, people would always be like, I work in an office and nobody knows what my job is, and neither do I, really. And it's like, oh, well, that's, I mean, that's the ultimate thing, right?
Well, I've gotten on Snapchat now, people that set up meetings for the end of the day and then just peace out. Like, I'll be in the conference room for the end of the day, but yeah, really, I'm inside my car on the way home.
We tried to get a conference room at the hotel, and they were not having it. I thought they had, like, little business conference rooms where you have your fucking, you know, meetings. I wasn't looking for a quarterly meeting. I was looking for, like, a more of a weekly meeting vibe. Just a small little room.
Yeah, it was surprising.
A dozen donuts and a cup of coffee, maybe.
There was nothing, though. It was weird.
That's what I picture a conference room as. A dozen donuts that all the good ones have been taken. All there are jelly-filled ones.
Oh, those are my faves.
Yeah, I know. You're always okay.
They got that one that's like just a purple color that is so good at Buckeye. I don't know what it is. It tastes like all the best candy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. God. Just eat regular
candy
flavors.
Jelly.
Yeah. I don't like jelly. I'm not a jelly guy.
Wow.
Not jolly either. Like, I don't even really like fun that
much.
I mean,
the grape jelly, regular old, like the ones they gave us as a kid, is candy. It's not close to anything of the fruit known as a grape.
Yeah.
It's like, it really is. I'm obsessed with it.
You don't eat a lot of Concord grapes, though.
Well, a lot of the food that I eat revolves around is like pretty much just other iterations of peanut butter and jelly, like trail mix. Trail mix is just like peanuts and dried cranberries is the one that I like, you know? So it's like cranberry jelly when I mash it all up in my mouth, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. Granola, all of it. Like I end up just, it's the finest combination of flavors.
Nice. So I got an update to end this show. Okay. From enlightenedconsciousness.com.
Really? Really? Really?
I saw this headline and I was like, this is probably for the of the utmost importance to listeners of Street Fight, okay? And here's the headline for you listeners out there. Remember the boy who smoked 40 cigarettes a day?
Yeah.
This is what he looks like 8 years later.
Oh, really? That...
The boy,
huge kid.
Yeah, he was a little fat boy that smoked cigarettes all day.
Okay.
He was 2 years old. He had a fatal addiction to cigarettes, and he quit, right?
Really?
He quit smoking.
Great.
He got off the smokes, which is cool. Because, like, think about, like, when I smoked, it was, like, from the age of 12 to, like, 26. So there had already been 12 years of my life where I didn't smoke. You know, it's like, oh, I remember when I didn't smoke.
Right, right, right. You know? It wasn't a constant.
Yeah, yeah. But he started at 2. Like, I would think of smoking as eating had I started smoking at 2, at 2 years old.
Yeah, it would seem like just a part of breathing or like a thing to do after you eat. That's like when you really get tied into it.
Can you imagine being like 4 and having a nicotine? Like this kid wasn't he 8
years
old?
He was nicking.
And he was having nick fits. Like he was like, oh, fuck, man. Just give me, oh, God, I need these 2 packs of cigarettes today. Can you do like 1 pack of cigarettes today?
Can I pay for 1 today and take another one with me that I'll pay for tomorrow?
The Indonesian government paid for his rehab program.
Thank you. See, thank you for that. Thank you for doing the right thing.
They felt bad from the global disgust because, motherfucker, I don't remember anybody being really disgusted by the little cigarette smoking kid. Like, I feel like everybody thought it was the cutest thing in the history of the world.
It's also, if you look at a lot of old history, that's plenty of 10, 7, 8, 9 year olds that got started on cigarettes.
12. I was 12 when I started smoking. Yeah, I mean,
same here.
Like, 11 maybe, but 12.
I was going to say, my sister stole cigarettes from my mom when she was like 8, and I was 11.
Ooh,
and
wow.
She was like, hey, come on, let's go give him a shot.
Yeah, let's go have a fun. Let's check these smokes out, man.
Yeah.
My friends were stealing them from their dad at the age of, I don't know, like 10. Actually, what it was in sixth grade, this fucking kid walked up to me, man, and he was like, hey, you ever smoke cigarettes? And I like didn't want to say no. So I was like, yeah, man, I smoke cigarettes all the time. Smoked cigarettes before.
Yeah.
And we went to his house and we stood by his shed, and it was like a lifelong friendship from that point. Like
so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, this is like a little thing. Me and my little 12-year-old friend smoking cigarettes by his shed.
It's wonderful.
Well, his mom would be home from work sometimes, and we'd have to go hide somewhere else to smoke the cigarettes. But now my kid's 12, and I look at her, I'm like, shit, she's
cigarette smoking age.
Watch out for her and them cigarettes, man. See if she probably smells not like smoke. No. No, I had to. I can't believe how different she is, which is nice. I'm not mad about it. Like, I'm not like Mike Rowe. I'm like, I'm glad she's not a lot heathen like I was.
Yeah, she's not a heathen.
But yeah, the kid, he got addicted to fucking junk food after that, and he ballooned up.
Oh, which no.
That's how I got to be gigantic and fat, is that, like, when I quit smoking, I was just like, oh, I love candy so much. I just want to eat all the candy in the world.
So you like to have a mouthful of some sort of strong flavor.
yeah. But now
you like rushes also, which you also get from, like, a whole bag of Starburst jelly beans.
Yeah. But now he's back. He's like, he's got his weight down. He's eating a healthy diet.
Okay, good for you.
Motherfucking Indonesian government got involved with this kid's life and actually like made it better. That's when government's like...
Is he a snowboarding champion now or
no,
something?
No, I mean, he's probably not very healthy, but he quit it all.
He should be a DJ. DJ's a good life for a guy like that, man.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I wonder if he can't go around anything anymore because he'll just want to get back to his old ways like when he was two, when he was a toddler that was partying all the time.
He needs to go on vacation. He needs a healing time away, I think, to really breathe some fresh air, a change of scenery, a little bit more fresher foods. Maybe go to an island or something. To Capri or something.
I'm honestly surprised that he... he's still alive, and I'm like really glad that we got to hear from him.
I know. I'm glad to root him on.
I think definitely about
think
him.
About him and definitely have thoughts about him in the middle of the night.
Do you? Because I do. I think about that little cigarette smoking boy all the fucking time. He's a meme that like never went away for me.
Yeah. Agreed. That's good news,
man.
I'm glad to report that. Yeah, that was a really uplifting story. I'm glad it wasn't so dark.
In the show with a good story about the cigarette. Like, yeah, if I would have been like, the cigarette smoking boy got cancer and he died 4 years ago. It's like, why'd you even tell me that? Yeah,
we didn't want to know that. We thought he was going to get at least 40.
He's good, man. He turned his fucking life around, man. In his teen years, he turned his. Unlike most of us, he turned his life around.
Yeah,
he'll probably be a Christian, mortgage broker by the time he's 35. He's like, oh.
He had his redemption story in his like tween years. I mean, that's big. That's you get the new lease on life and everything right when you're turning fresh a teenager.
I would watch the movie.
Your mind is right.
I'd watch a movie about this kid.
Everything's on point.
They make one for my kid. Like, make a kid's movie about the kid that's a cigarette-smoking boy, and then, like, he got clean, and then, now he's struggling with junk food, and it's like, now he's thin. All he eats is carrots and shit.
He's really strong. He's a professional snowboarder. That DJs.
Put that down in the document for things that we need to do in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a good start.
Yeah. Let's see if we can buy the film adaptation of the cigarette smoking boy.
But first, like I said, put him on an island vacation. We have to go convince him to come do this. We have to go convince him.
Let's reboot Entourage, but with the cigarette smoking boy.
Such good news. Thank you for everybody that listens and supports what we do. If you want us to come to your neck of the woods, we need more money. We also want to get a warehouse to have a space where we can do some wild ideas, including shows and, you know, Foods Not Bombs type things and other big ideas in the works. Patreon.com/Street Fight Radio. You can sign up to get our live videos. So we haven't released it yet, but our live video from Chicago is getting edited right now. And if you are a Patreon subscriber, you get to watch that for free. That is if you're paying the $5 or more. And if you want to get the zine, the Kratom, it's all right there on the page. Explains all the different tiers of what you get when you subscribe and support us on Patreon. We are thankful for everybody that keeps this thing rolling, to see all the people that were there. I mean, Spirit in Pittsburgh was incredible. There's people hugging the walls. Thank you to the Buffalo DSA. They came all the way from Buffalo, New York. We're extremely excited to make it up to Buffalo one day. We love to see Pittsburgh. Such an amazing city. We're definitely going to be back. I had the most incredible slice of pizza, Giovanni's Pizza. I want it again. They did the cheese so well. It was so, like, well done and just cooked so extremely right that I'm still thinking about it. The Round Table Cantina was also a fucking loads of fun. Got to sit in the back on the big bench with the Chapo guys and Zoopsils from Twitter and sing Paul Simon songs, sing a little bit of some Prince, all kinds of shit. It was a really good time. We drank pina coladas and broed out hardcore. So thank you, Chapo Trap House, for putting on an amazing show with us. And thanks for that shout out at the end of the podcast this week. I heard it and was really grateful for y'all to take the time to go ahead and mention that. We are happy to keep this thing rolling with them and spreading this mess across the U.S. Like I said, keep fighting the good fight. Look for people that want to fight. Stick with them and don't give up. We're in it for the long haul. This isn't, you know, an overnight thing. It's going to take a lot of effort from everybody. And as long as we can keep a smile on our face, this overthrow of American colonialism is going to be a joyous and wonderful thing. We're going to party our asses off like Emma Goldman intended. We will be back later this week. We are Street Fight. Peace.